Last week, I went to the local Stop and Shop to buy a few staple items, just the basic milk, OJ, light bulbs, laundry detergent, and paper towels. And honestly, I have to tell you that I do not look at the price tags when I put groceries in my cart, especially the staple items. But I do have a general sense about how much I'm putting into the cart and approximately how much it will cost me. Which is why I was stunned when the nice checkout lady announced the total, and it was way, way more than I expected. Something was terribly wrong, I told her. So together we went over the receipt. And that's when I noticed there were two items that cost $23 each. "There it is," I exclaimed. "You must have rang $23 instead of $2.30. At which point she double and triple checked the barcode, looked up at me and said, "No, it's right. You bought two light bulbs that cost $23 each." "You're kidding, right?" "No," she said, "those are very special light bulbs." To which I replied, "For that kind of money, when I turn them on, they better turn me on." "Don't count on it," she answered. And then she said, "But the good news is those bulbs are supposed to last up to 27 years. At which point I had this sobering thought. Given my age, there is a 50-50 chance that I might burn out naturally before those bulbs do. The whole experience was enlightening, to say the least. So in the end, I decided to keep just one of those bulbs. Today, it lights up the fixture above my desk at home. When I move out of the little house on Forest Avenue, I'm going to unscrew it and take it with me. I'm going to take it with me because it is a constant, ever-present reminder of what the psalmist wrote 3,000 years ago. "Teach us to number our days, O God, that we may gain a wise heart." According to the Bible, the person with a wise heart is ever aware that their days on this earth are limited, that the key to living fully and freely is to live in the moment as much as possible. In our first reading for this morning, Jesus said the same thing a little differently. "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" Teach us to number our days, O God, that we may gain a wise heart. I call both of those nuggets biblical realism, the fact that we're all getting older and there is nothing that we can do about it. I am reminded of the oldest living woman in my last church. She was 101. She lived to be 103, and one day I went to visit her. And I said, "Hi, Dorothy, how are you doing today?" And she said, "I'm doing fine, with one exception. Every morning I get up and I look in the mirror and I wonder who that old woman is staring back at me." She's not alone when it comes to aging. Our culture has a hard time dealing with it as well. 80% of the commercials on television are about age prevention, the beauty creams, the anti-aging lotions, the hair coloring, and of course the pills, including all those Viagra ads during prime time. Makes me glad I'm not the parent of a grade schooler. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm perfectly fine with trying everything we can to look and feel younger. I do it myself, I exercise every day, and I, well, wash some of the gray away. So it's a wonderful thing to look and feel younger as long as we have a wise heart. As long as we acknowledge and embrace the fact that our days on this earth are limited. Why is that? Have you ever wondered, like me, why God didn't just skip a step and make us eternal from day one? Why did God decide to bracket life with birth and death? More to the point, the age-old perennial question, why do we have to die? What do you think? Well, here's what I think. I think life without death would be a huge, huge problem. Stop and think about it. We could take days to get out of bed in the morning and weeks to decide every little thing. And if they aren't long enough, already church meetings would go on for decades. Yikes. But even more than that, this. If we live forever, we would have all the time in the world to say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I'm proud of you. I love you. And chances are some of us would never get around to it. The wise heart knows better. The wise heart knows if we live our life pretending that we are the one great exception, that we're going to live forever, we actually miss out on the beauty and the sacredness of the now. Songwriter Harry Chapin, in one of his realistic ballads, offered this haunting refrain. There is no tick-tock on your electric clock, but yet your life runs down. Hence the hourglass on the front cover of your bulletin this morning. A wise heart knows what time it is. One of my favorite authors is Anne Lamott. She has a way of weaving religion into everyday life that is both honest and very wise. In one of her books, Bird by Bird, she writes about her best friend, Pammy, who was dying of cancer. Lamont was with Pammy daily. She wanted to do more, but she felt completely helpless. So out of pure desperation and angst, she went to see Pammy's doctor. And they sat together for a while, and they talked about what was happening to her dear, dear friend. And finally, the doctor said something surprising. He looked Lamont in the eye, and he said, "Watch Pammy carefully right now, because she is teaching you how to live." Looking back on that conversation, Lamont reflected, "I remind myself of this when I cannot get any work done. To live as if I'm dying, because the truth is we're all on a terminal bus. So instead of staring miserably at the computer screen, trying to will my way into having a breakthrough, I say to myself, okay, let's see. Dying tomorrow, what should I do today? Teach us to number our days." The late Henry Nouwen put it beautifully, and I would add a little bit counterculturally, when he said the following: until we befriend death, we will never befriend life. Until we befriend death, we will never befriend life. The wise heart knows that death is not the enemy. Rather, the disease is the enemy, the cancer and the mental illness. Death is a part of life. It is part of the continuum. Or if you prefer T.S. Eliot, in my beginning is my end, and in my end is my beginning. Teach us to number our days, O God, that we may have a wise heart and live to the fullest. And living life to the fullest doesn't mean that we all have to go out and do something monumental. It doesn't mean that we all have to go out and chain ourselves to the court steps. We don't all have to be out and become mystics and martyrs. Rather, we simply have to start by being present in the moment, to realize that every breath is a gift and every meal is a kind of sacrament. I love the way a monk named Brother Lawrence put it. He said, "It is not necessary to have great things to do. I turn my little omelet in the pan for the love of God." I love that. I turn my little omelet in the pan for the love of God. Now that's living in the moment. Over the years, I have had the privilege of being with people who are nearing the end of their lives. And just like Anne Lamont's doctor, those people have actually taught me, the minister, how to live. People with wise hearts who numbered their days, who left this world very peacefully. Or in the words of that beautiful old psalm, their years came to an end like a sigh. That's what we all wish for, that our years will come to an end like a sigh. And I can tell you, after being with all these people, when they're lying on their deathbeds and they look back at their life, they are not thinking about their granite countertops or how they wish they would have spent more time at the office or how much money they lost in the stock market. Rather, the memories rolling through their mind and off of their lips were the places they had gone, the people they had met, the lives they had changed, the gifts they had given, the legacy that they are leaving to their children and their grandchildren, their community and their country and their world. Those people's lives came to an end with a sigh of satisfaction. Now, this is the time of year when we all make those New Year's resolutions. We vow to lose weight, stop drinking or smoking, or spend less money, or in some cases, give more money, or simply to be more patient and kind to others. How about you? What's yours? Well, how about this? If you want to cover all those little resolutions in one fell swoop, may I suggest the following? Resolve in your heart to live like it is your last year. Be slow to worry about the future and swift to love in the present. Go home today and remember that every breath is a gift, every meal is a sacrament, and every act of kindness, even the smallest one, is a ritual of thanksgiving for life. Go home today and call your friends and loved ones, or write them, or confirmation class text them. Say to them, I'm sorry, I forgive you, I'm proud of you, I miss you, I love you. Teach us to number our days, O God, that we may gain a wise heart.